Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. It's nice to kick off a show when you're not out of breath running around because you had a power outage. But anywho, let me just kind of move forward, and I want to cover some things that I haven't covered in a long time. There are three reasons why you'd want to download the podcast, and I want to give you kind of a heads up. I used to take the time, because I thought I had time, to kind of give you a highlight of what's in the podcast, what's available there. And I just don't have that time. I keep on getting backlogged and trying to do all sorts of other things. It's tough fighting literally a war here with the few resources and so forth. And so I apologize, but I'm just going to be posting, just so I can stay current on these things, I'm going to just post these things with the dates, and you'll need to kind of do the sampling or listening and so forth. But just so you know, that all the podcasts for this show is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. The reasons why you want to download this, as I was just getting ready to tell you, this is the only show on air that asserts the constitutional solution to the federal government's overreach. Secondly, this content on this show will refer to content in previous shows, as I'm going to talk about what I talked about yesterday a little bit and kind of dovetail with that. So keeping abreast with the content in context to what I'm talking about today or yesterday and previously and in the future, you really need to stay abreast with all of the podcast. Third, you got to bear in mind that the content on the show may actually cover things that are current in events, whether they be current immediately in the past week, months, or even years. The content on the show is literally relevant towards the constitutional perspective of these things. And so we're literally here trying to actually give you a constitutional view and perspective on most all of these events. Therefore, this show is really not ephemeral or temporary. And so, again, you can download these on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, I also want to kind of mention today happens to be, you know, handout day or giving day or whatever. So apparently, this is kind of a new thing, but those of you who are really looking for a worthy cause, supporting this cause so that we have the money to do all of the things that's going to be required of us that we need to do would be very, very helpful. It's not necessarily about the money, because we're not here making money. It's literally what we need to have money to be able to travel, to be able to go speak and help these organizations, such as Wyoming and some of these other states that we're working with. We need to get there and talk to them so that they understand what is going on. And so I would ask, if you've got some money, if you can throw us, you know, some type of love and or some assistance, that would be great, because that way, you know, we'll actually have some funding, because we are traveling in January and we traveled in November and we have not made what we needed for travel in November. And so we're really in the hole. And I'm hoping that we can find some people that actually are willing to actually support this, because there is no other way. There's no other way to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. It is the only process to get the genie back in the bottle. The other thing is, if you want to help but you don't have money, then hit me up with an email. Just let me know, hey, I'd like to help. I'd like to get involved in this, and we will start getting you educated. You first need to come on board, or at least have, I would say, let's just call it the epiphany, and you have to have a strong conviction that what we are doing is literally something that is not about GR, it's not about you, it is about saving our Constitution And this is the process that was defined by Thomas Jefferson, that was clarified by Madison, and then executed by the states of Kentucky and Virginia. So if you want to get involved, I'm hoping to get with Keith. We're getting close to the end of the year. I want to have him on, and we'll probably have him on in a couple of weeks, talking about what they're going to be doing with the Constitution Club, so that that way you'll be able to participate if you join the constitutionclub.ning.com and getting emails out to the state legislators. He's going to give you all of the email lists for every single state legislator, so you can actually hit them with, you know, a good challenge as to why they're not doing what they need to do to repeal the 17th Amendment. They're actually not even repeal it, rescind it. And so with that, let me just kind of move forward. I do want to say this. I truly appreciate all of you who are actually taking the time to listen and to tune in, and more importantly, tuning in your friends, neighbors, and those types of folks with this particular message. There is, again, I can't emphasize enough. I ask people all the time, please help me stop doing what I'm doing. I'd love to save my money. I'd love to actually get back to work and maybe, you know, pad my retirement, or at least live a little bit better instead of living, you know, on the edge with having to fund all of this. And so if you have a constitutional solution that actually will work, and this one is not the one, you can prove that it's not, just let me know. Send me an email. I would love, like I said, to actually go and do some other things. And I've yet to have a constitutional professor tell me any other way, any other process. And a matter of fact, those who are honest will say, yeah, or they will at least admit that they do not want to see this happen because they know that this will fix the problems. And that's what I've been running into. I've yet to find anybody that has a constitutional argument against auditing the Constitution and doing it as a republic in republic review, as I articulate that, or as I frame that in context to the audit. So as I moved forward today in getting ready for today's show, I scanned the news. I went through and took a good look at what's here and what's there. And there is not one sign that the federal government is getting ready to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and or powers. So what does that mean? That means that it is up to us. We are the ones that are going to have to take action. And if we are going to be successful, we do not have a lot of time. As a matter of fact, I'll get into more of that in just a minute, but what I want to do is I want to make sure that you stay tuned this month. I'm going to be providing some really good, insightful interviews on what the heck's going on, and hopefully give you some marketing or give you some justification to stand up and take a stand. I'm going to have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber back on regarding the live organ harvesting that's going on in China. And we talk a little bit about the social credit program. We're talking about what the heck is going on with the Communist Party, both in China and worldwide. And I think you're going to find this conversation very enlightening. And I'm praying that it shakes you to the core, that you're going to want to get involved. You're going to want to actually help stop what the heck's going on in China and turn this country around. And the best way to do that, the best way to get America positioned to stand up against China, is actually taking our Constitution back. We've had way too many politicians. I mean, Hillary was completely on board with just consigning the Western states over to China during the next financial crisis. And they don't have that constitutional authority to do that. So bottom line, we're going to give you some good content to help motivate, to help stimulate your actions and what you're going to do with your time moving forward. Let's just call it the opportunity cost prioritizer, because what we need to do is help you prioritize how you are going to engage in, if you're going to fight at all, how are you going to be able to do that? You know, obviously we need to keep food and, you know, the roof over our heads, food on the table and so forth. But if we do nothing, then all will be lost. And that's what Edmund Burke said. He said that all evil has to do to succeed is for good men to do nothing. I will also have Aaron Tilbury back on, and we're going to be talking to him later on in the month as well regarding this sex slave trafficking and this problem that is throughout the United States. Both of these issues, both the live organ harvesting and this sex trafficking, this slave trafficking that's going on in the United States, this is the epitome of people losing their liberty. What we are facing as a nation, if we actually lose our Constitution, we are going to be enslaved and we will all lose our liberty. And then we will have zero control over our destiny and what we are doing. And getting our liberty back, as far as I'm concerned, it's gone. There, it'll take literally a miracle from the divine hand of providence, just like before. And if you're familiar with the biblical prophecies and so forth, that's exactly what we're going to have to be waiting on. And needless to say, I'm literally out of time. So when we come back, I'm going to get back into this education system and the education problem that we have and trying to motivate you to looking at getting your children out of the education system or what else you can do, because it seems like we've lost this battle altogether. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors and promo. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So yesterday I was talking a little bit about a couple of different friends that I have been working with, either currently a good patriot and or somebody that I actually worked with and worked with for a long time in California. And it is very obvious. I mean, if you're already facing this, and I can see this in my family as well. There's people within our family that have still have kids that are in the school system. And you can actually see how these kids are literally being programmed to no longer trust and be able to articulate and communicate with mom and dad. They literally have been created little, I don't want to say barriers, but they've actually created a level of hostility between the parent, the child, and their parents. Interesting, though, is as I was talking and some of the, you know, hindsight or the analysis that I've had with my just recent encounter with the youth, is that they actually engaged me and they didn't, you could tell there was a stark contrast as to how they were behaving and acting towards their parent and how they behaved and acted towards me. I don't believe I'm this great facilitator. What I do believe is I believe that there's this paradigm, there is this hard, fast bias that their parents are going to lie to them. So I truly believe that when other people are talking to them, they actually open up, they listen, and they actually had a good cognitive conversation with me where I was able to ask them questions and they were able to respond instead of just being in denial and in a confrontational mode, as it was really obvious with the children and the parent. And I'm going, this is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to tell you, I want to give you some advice. First off, I told you that if you have the ability to get your kids out of the national indoctrination system, do it. Homeschool, you're going to have the same curriculum, but you're not going to be feeding them and hoodwinking your children into believing that you are the bad person. You got to understand that they are normalizing sexual behavior and actually encouraging the kids to become very active sexually. There are laws across the United States that are literally being passed by the state legislators that are actually requiring children to self-identify what their sexual orientation is by fourth grade. Now, I'm telling you, back in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, if there was a parent that was having that kind of conversation with their children and or a group of adults presenting that kind of information, those people would probably be locked up because they were endangering and it would have been perceived as perverse. But our education system is getting away with this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our education system is actually convincing our children that they should be sexual beings in the fourth grade and identifying. So how is it that they're going to do this? I'm going to tell you that the teacher's not going to tell them directly. There won't be any evidence that will point to that teacher that says that they have to go out and experiment. But the teacher's going to be nodding while they tell them, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you really need to start engaging in different sexual activity between, you know, homosexual activity and heterosexual activity and experiment. And you need to determine for yourself before your parents try to get involved in your life because they don't care about what you like or what you want. That's the kind of messages, and it may not be verbatim. I may be, you know, encapsulating and paraphrasing, but I am telling you that that is the intent. Why is it that sex is such an important part of the child's curriculum today, especially at that young age? It is because they're being indoctrinated to focus on very specific things. And our school system does not care what's happening to society. They don't care if these kids, as a matter of fact, in one particular family I know of, that there are kids that are literally just planning on being dependent on mom and dad. They have completely lost their moral compass and understanding how important, how critical it is to have self-worth and to be able to go and earn something for themselves and to be able to take pride in their productivity and their labor and look and say, and this is good. that I've been able to earn money to buy my own car, to put a roof over my own house, to take care of my own butt, to pay for my own way in life. Somehow these kids have been weaponized, and they're literally, the education system is literally targeted and is trying to destroy our families. And there is no other way around this. I wish it was another way, but I will tell you this. If you can't get your kids into a homeschooling environment, then, and if you're involved in your local community, then great. Then you could start looking around. If you're not involved in your local community via church or some other mechanism, get involved. This is your kids and your family's well-being that's at stake here. Get involved and start working and finding like-minded people and find out if somebody else can do this. Find out if somebody else, because you might be able to find homeschooling in a cooperative way of being able to pool resources and save, you know, save some money instead of putting them in a private school. A private school is no better than the public school anymore. And I'm telling you this because the curriculum is the same. The textbooks are the same. Private schools don't have this private resource of their own curriculum. There are some that do, but those are real outlier type of private schools. Most of the big private schools and charter schools, supposedly the superior school systems, they're using the exact same textbooks. Now, I remember it was McGraw-Hill or something like that. There was literally only two companies out there that were creating textbooks, and the content was very much the same. So where is it that you're going to get good quality content and be able to protect your kids from this communist indoctrination? You're going to have, and you're going to find either yourself, some family, church friends, what have you, in your community that you guys can start banding together. You need to start literally fighting the narrative that's coming into your kids. And I'm telling you, at this point in time, if your kids are already in teenagers between, you know, 12 and up, then they've probably already considering you, their children are already considering you as the enemy. Your kids have been taught for over the past few years that it's, you know, mommy and daddy aren't trying to have you, you know, make you feel good and want you to do, you know, really good things. I mean, you have to have a very strong family tie to be able to maintain and manage that type of trust to where your children feel very comfortable in talking to you and very comfortable in expressing their love for you and that type of thing. And I just find that it seems like by the time kids are leaving elementary, it's already too late. It's no longer cool to hold mommy's hand or daddy's hand. It's no longer cool to be, you know, you have your parents as your best friends. This is a sick society, and our school system, I've been telling you after the school shootings and everything else, the only reason we're in this mess is because this education system has debased our society. Our society is a reflection of the religion that is driving it. And the religion that is driving our society today is secularism, because the National Secular Church, which is the federal government, is mandated. Godless secularism is to be taught to your kids in their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school to counter the little bit of gospel or good religious training that they're getting in your Sunday school. Your Sunday school is what, maybe 1 or 2 hours a week? They're going through their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school 7, 8 hours a day. How are you going to counter that? You better have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, then you need to start taking action. And one of the best actions that you can take is literally getting your kids out of the education system into homeschooling. Talk to your spouse. Sit down and figure out if there is a way that one of you can literally, you know, do without the income, because you'll probably find that, you know, if you're not traveling, this is a known fact that you spend less money if you stay at home. Figure it out. I pray that we can save some of our future generation, because they have a high conversion rate. I remember I reported this, that the Pew Research identified I believe it was 70% of the kids were aligned to the left, and only 19% were really aligned to the right. So what? Where's the rest of that? I also wanted to point out that I know yesterday I said that it's 10 million a year. Actually, it's 10 million. It's about 10 million. Actually, it's like 8. But if you look at the numbers of the demographics, they're only talking about what is actually in the school system. But there are a lot of kids that are outliers out there that are illegals or what have you. And there's they talk about private schools. They don't talk about homeschooling and so forth. And we know that homeschooling is probably going to be a good conservative education. But I am telling you that even with about 10 million, 8 to 10 million kids coming into the electoral process, we have to start acting now. And so I've got a hard break. So when we come back, we'll have a little bit more for you. So please stay tuned, and I will be talking to you about China again. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So I will give you more tomorrow on this kind of weekly bent or rant that I have regarding the education system. But I need to move on because there's quite a few other topics out there. As you know, I've been talking a lot about China and about what they're doing and how they are the petri dish in literally configuring and integrating the beast and how our population in the world is going to be controlled. Now, it's just not China doing this. As a matter of fact, I've been reporting and telling you that Google is their big partner. As you know, the Google has had a couple of code projects or code name projects, one code name Maven, which is, I believe, their artificial intelligence, and Dragonfly, which I believe is their tracking and all of that. They have been working with China in helping keep track of and monitoring millions and millions of people. They're actually deploying this entire system, it's called the social credit system, throughout China by 2020. I've been reporting this, right? Well, if you haven't heard, guess what? Google is in the news. Did you know that the consumer watchdogs from 7 European countries have filed complaints against Google? It's complaints, right? Is this going to be a slap on the wrist? I don't know, but it needs to actually take, you know, greater leverage and greater action to literally get Google to either stop, behave, or pull the plug on them. But anyway, so there's these seven countries that have filed complaints against Google for allegedly tracking the location of millions of their users, and this is a breach of the EU privacy regulations. Oh, by the way, do we have that type of privacy regulations here? Does each state have a regulation? If you're a state legislator and you're looking for a policy to engage and literally drive forward, you need to have your state pass laws that literally stop all of these companies like Google, Amazon, and everybody else from obtaining, keeping, and tracking and maintaining privacy for your citizens. It is not the federal government's job to do this. Each state needs to start passing laws to protect the privacy and the sovereignty and liberty of their individual citizens. And so don't think that this isn't happening here. Do you need another reason? Do you need another justification so that you can actually start getting engaged and getting involved? What is it going to take, right? Well, so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to try to take a little levity, and I want to share something with you because I truly believe that, you know, we have found a new religion and a new gospel that goes hand in hand with secularism. And so let me just kind of play a little gospel tune for you. Here we go. Okay, so if you didn't hear the words, save our planet, who will save our planet? Judgment time is here. That was a 60s, 70s song that you can tell it was a gospel type of song. Do you think this newfounded religion in climatology has just happened? This has been a long time coming, and the paradigm has been literally driven by the entertainment industry, by the news. We have been manipulated for a long time. And so I just want you to know, and the reason I played that as kind of like an intro here, is that the elders of climatology, and I think that that's probably the right term to put this into, like Scientology, which has formally become the religion of buffoonery, has made a statement. And the elders are the UN. And the UN has basically said that the world must triple its efforts or face catastrophic climate change. Countries are failing to take action needed to stave off the worst effects of climate change. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I see it, this is getting way out of hand. And as a matter of fact, if you don't think that they're not trying to get leverage, they're trying to get to a point where the UN actually has force over countries. They're trying to create this global government. And the Global Governance Commission was established way back, I think either the late 80s or early 90s, about the same time the Agenda 21 agenda came out that George Bush signed and brought to America unconstitutionally. So I just wanted to share that with you. I wanted to put this into a gospel type of framework because literally, they are creating a religion of buffoonery, as I said. Now, one of the things that I found really interesting in the news and in conversation, and it's been going around for a while, and I've talked about this, but I haven't gotten into details. So I really want to dive into the details of this. And so I'm kind of setting aside the rest of the show to talk about this, where there's some other stuff I would like to talk about, but I really want to drill hard into this. What is the Electoral College? Each state is apportioned very specifically electoral college candidates or electoral college voters who are supposed to vote for the president. You get one for each senator and one for each congressperson. Therefore, you literally have, you know, this the small states, or I should not say small, but this low population states like Wyoming, they only have three. I have no idea how many California has, but I think it's like 50 some odd or maybe 60 or something like that. So the highly populated states have a lot. And so there was a discussion that is coming out where people are starting to debate and they want to shake up the Electoral College. Now, the progressives want to completely get away from it. But I actually heard some dialogue this weekend that literally, you know, I kind of had to stop and go, wow, they're almost going back towards the 12th Amendment. And that would be great, because if you understand the way the Electoral College is operated today, it is unconstitutional. They have made changes to the process by using statutes and regulations. And near as I can tell, there's nothing in the 12th Amendment that says, hey, if you want to make any more adjustments and or not even follow this, go ahead and make your own regulations and statutes. Just remember that Congress only has exclusive legislative authority over the seat of government, or what we call the District of Columbia. So if they create a statute, if they create an act, if they create a regulation, and it has nothing to do with the enumerated powers within the Constitution or something within the Constitution itself, or they're changing it, the only way it becomes constitutional and applicable to the states is they have to follow the Article 5 process. So what I'm telling you is that when they recognized that they didn't like, it didn't work well in the Jefferson Adams election of 1880, and so they recognized they needed to change Article 2 of the Constitution in the selection of the president. Therefore, they submitted an amendment to the Constitution to have the process change very specifically. And in doing so, they followed the Article 5 process. It went out to the states, and the states bought off on it. And it was followed and implemented as written, and that's how they moved forward. They set the example. They lived by the standard that they identified, and they actually how they sold the Constitution. If anything is to change, it has to go through an Article 5 process where two-thirds of both houses, both Congress, which would be the House of Representatives and the Senate, two-thirds of both of those houses would have to vote to approve the amendment before it would be forwarded out to the states. And the states would be the final arbiters, and they would determine whether they would allow the change to occur or not. Therefore, when they started, you know, throwing these regulations and statutes down America's throat, that was all unconstitutional. There was no discussion within the ratification. Yeah, we'll go ahead and let the federal government do what they want. If they just want to create the regulations, we'll do it. Yeah, that's okay. No, they would have rejected the Constitution, because in this republic, this was a hybrid constitutional republic where there were defined enumerated powers. It wasn't a general power, as I've told you before. And so those delegated powers were the only powers they could execute. Therefore, the Confederacy, in a way, was retained because all powers that were not delegated were reserved to the people and the states, respectively. That's why the 10th Amendment was written the way it was. That's why we have a constitutional process in making the adjustments and changes to the instrument that doesn't require such a great obstacle in amending the Constitution. And what I'm saying is, in the old days, in the Articles of Confederation, it required 100%. Every state had to buy off on it. So you could literally be held to the whims of one small state like Rhode Island, who did it quite a bit. But anyway, I digress. We're at a hard break, so I want to pick this back up and what they're talking about doing, and maybe we'll get into that 12th Amendment. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. All right, so I'm going to go forward on this, and of course I'm going to read the 12th Amendment. And you have to understand that the Electoral College, or the electors, were voted for by the people. They were selected by the people. I want you to understand this, that the people did not vote for who was to be president. They voted for electors to actually be the ones to choose. They didn't say, okay, we want this. They didn't move it to a popular vote. In other words, nowhere in the Constitution and in the 12th Amendment is the election of the president a popular vote at all. I want you to understand this. We would have much better presidents and we would have much better leadership if we followed the constitutional standards, which are we vote for an elector. So who could be? I could be an elector in my area. The people could vote in my congressional district for me, and I would be the one that would actually vote for who I felt would be the best president, not who's the campaigner in chief or anything like that. I would be the one that would actually, because you're not required. It's not like, you know, there's a campaign of parties anymore. I mean, there were parties and there were campaigns and people that were running, but almost anybody and everybody threw their hat in, and there were no primaries to eliminate anybody. And so it was, I don't want to say it was the wild, wild west, but it allowed anybody and everybody a full shot at being able to become president of the United States. And so the electors are the ones who choose. It wasn't based on how, you know, they weren't told, because that's what a representative government is. A representative government, you basically choose who you think is going to vote the best way you want them to vote. And then they go and they vote the best way they think is best. It's that simple. And so the electors shall meet in the respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. In other words, let's say Virginia had a lock on the presidency, then they could not have their own vice president. they shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president and in distinct ballots the person voted for as vice president, and the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of government of the United States, directed to the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate, which is the vice president at the time, shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president. And it's done that easy, folks. So why is it, and there's more to this, but why is it that we are actually having a popular vote and that the Electoral College is literally a bunch of doofuses that are tied to a party that are going to go and cast their votes because it's nowhere in there that they're tied to a party? An Electoral College, or I should say an elector that has been elected by the constituents of that area, that elector is free to vote for whom they choose. There's nowhere in here that clearly states that they have to vote for a very specific party or person. So how did we get into this mess? Go look at the violations of the Constitution as they started creating in, I believe it was the 1860s, when they started going down this path of changing. That was how they were able to create a better and tighter control over who was going to be president, to ensure that they had at least one person in the tank on both sides so that they would make sure that whatever their agenda was to move forward. And so as we look at this, and as I was listening to this conversation is literally trying to remove, they're not trying to get the electors to be free willy and to literally get rid of primaries, which is what they should be doing, but they are talking about changing the Electoral College to remove the winner takes all. There is constitutional standing, at least in that, because I will tell you that if your congressional district voted for a very specific, you know, candidate, and you happen to live in a blue state, then there's a good, let's say it was a red candidate and you live in a blue state. Well, how many red electors were literally within that state that could have voted? Like in California, how many counties did Trump carry that he would have won those electors? Probably quite a few, but not enough for the election to have gone his way for the state, but the winner takes all. What'll end up happening if this actually goes through is it will be harder for the progressives to actually win, because when you look at the all of the United States, most of the counties and most of these congressional districts, except for the gerrymandered ones, which are usually around the population centers, you'll find that most of those electors, and go back and look at the 2016 election. If you would have been able to free up the electors out of each of the states, how many electors would have voted for Trump had they been free to do so instead of winner takes all? I will tell you that Trump probably would have won with a much higher standing of the Electoral College. And that would at least be stepping us a little bit closer to at least a representative government, to where your candidate and your voice is being heard by your elector, even though the elector is not free to do what they believe is best, which is what the Constitution and the 12th Amendment clearly dictates. And so I would love to see us going back to literally voting on the electors instead of letting the parties do this as well. We literally need to do this. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to Keith Broders, and he had a great point about bringing up the Electoral College in voting for your governor. Why is it that the governor is a popular vote? It's an executive. We're a Republican form of government. There should be no popular vote or democracy in our processes. The governor should also and equally be voted for by an Electoral College. allowing the counties and this the legislative districts to, you know, to apportion the electors in the state, just like we do with the federal government, based on congressional districts and Senate. So as you have, you know, your distribution of House representatives and senators in your state, they would, you know, those districts, you would be voting for an elector or two electors or three based on how many representatives and senators you have, because there's a lot of duplicity in that. And so that is how you would then vote for your electors, and your electors would then vote for, out of all of the candidates, who they thought was best. Now, if it takes a long time to work it out, but your electors would do what was, and that's why you vote for the smartest and the most brilliant people to make the best decision. And I will tell you, we would have much better governors and much better presidents and vice presidents. But I want you to also know that there's no such thing as a president, vice president ticket. That's not in the Constitution. It's not in the 12th Amendment. Do you understand that? In other words, that we have been baked by the Uniparty, and the Uniparty has literally set up advantages for themselves to ensure that they have some level of control as a like a gatekeeper to ensure that only those qualified by their standards who understand the agenda and maintain the agenda moving forward. That's how we've gotten into this mess. Isn't that interesting? So I don't know if I've railed on this enough, and I don't want to read any more out of the 12th Amendment, but I would invite you to read it. I'd invite you to actually read Article 2, Section 1, and that's where you'll find the Electoral College process. And this only changes Part 2 or of Section 1. So if you look at the Constitution, you'll start waking up and you'll start realizing that we would have a much better system. We would have a much better government if we followed and, or say it with me, complied to the Constitution. We would be a far better off republic. So I want to actually get into something else that I was engaged with in a state legislator who had kind of admitted that they spent a lot of money on Facebook ads. Everybody knows you can buy ads. You can buy ads for selling stuff on Facebook, right? Does the state, so I asked this state legislator who just won, and he's actually going to be representing Republic Review in this upcoming 2019 session. And so I asked him, I said, hey, you basically, you know, gave Facebook that money to advertise in your state in that local area, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, it sounds like you gave Facebook some revenue. And he goes, yeah. And I go, do you guys have corporate taxes? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, then is Facebook paying the corporate tax on the revenue they're earning in your state? And silence. And he says, I don't know. And I said, well, it sounds like they're not. And I'll bet you anything they're not, because a lot of these groups out there, they literally are trying to bypass the revenue and state corporate taxes. And they only pay in the states that they are registered. It's time to wake up, and we need to start getting our pound of flesh out of these guys. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley, and I will be back tomorrow. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.